so philosophically interesting, because what's the purpose of a vote session? That's a really philosophical question. Right, so let's skip the prerequisites, assume that we all want to be Oved Hashem, but what's the purpose of Avodas Hashem? So, if you look in the Mishnah Avos, which we all know since we're little kids, on Tignav Shesocho, Kibo Mishim Atzadik, Wa Yomer Al Tiyuk Avodim Shav Shesurav, Om Nas Lekavu Pras, right? Don't be like Avodim, serve the Rav on condition to get a reward. Right? He doesn't say you don't get a reward. Right? Ella, Havu Kavodim Shav Shesurav, Om Nas Lekavu Pras. Be like Avodim who served the master, not on condition to get a reward. Okay, there is a reward, says the Chumash, that there's Chayav Onesh, but, and if someone does serve Hashem for a reward, then Mitov Shalosh Vapa L'Shma, we say that's a good step in there. You know, better for someone to serve Hashem for a reward than not to be from. And, you know, that's a good step towards idealism. But that's not the ideal. The real purpose is not to serve Hashem to get a reward. It's really to serve Hashem not to get a reward. Okay, you'll get one, but that shouldn't be your purpose. Okay, girls, that's not a chiddush to us, that there's shalol lishma, which is you want to get a reward, and lishma, which is not to get a reward. What Antignos Shesocho doesn't tell us is, if you're not serving Hashem to get a reward, which many people do in the world, right? We all know many people who say, you know, why do I keep the Torah? Oh, because I want Hashem to help me with this or that, I want Hashem to give me this or that, I don't want Hashem to punish me, etc. But that's not the real point of life. The real point of life is, Antignos Shesocho doesn't say, so why should you serve Hashem if not to get a reward? There has to be some other reason. So Antignus Shesocha doesn't say, but the Gemara and the Sefrei both do say. If you look at number two, they're somewhat parallel to Antignus Shesocha. The Gemara says, Nedar in Tanya, Li'avaz Hashem lokech l'shmo v'kolo dov kabo, shelo yomer adam ekra sheikuni chacham. Person shouldn't say, I'll learn Tanakh so they call me chacham. Esh neshikunu rabbi, I'll learn Mishnah so they call me rabbi. I'll learn Gemara well, so I'll be an old Rosh Hashiva. Ella, meaning don't learn Torah for kavod. Ella lamed me ava, learn for love of Hashem, li'avas Hashem. Sofa kavod lavo. You'll get kavod, but that shouldn't be your purpose. So it's saying the same thing. Don't do something to get lo lishma, to get kavod. Rather, do it for ava. And the Sefrei is even more direct because it refers to getting a reward. To why you shouldn't serve to get a reward, it says it's a phrase number three in Devarim, Li'avas Hashem Lokecham, Shema Yitomar Harin Lomei Torah B'shol Sha'ashir. Lest someone say, I'll learn Torah so I'll get rich. I assume that means get rich B'dei Shemayim, because my experience tells me that you won't get rich B'dei Adam. B'shol She'ekari Rabbi, that's B'dei Adam, or I'll learn Torah so people call me Rabbi, B'shol She'ekabel Sachar Li'olam Haba, or I'll learn Torah to get Sachar in Olam Haba. No, you shouldn't do it to get any of these things. Talmud Lomer Li'avas Hashem Lokecham. Pasuk teaches you out of love for Hashem. Kol shatam osam b'tu osam elamei ava. Whatever you do, you should do for ava. So the Sefrei Nedarim fill in sort of the last step of Antignos Shesocho. You should not serve Hashem. The purpose of life is not to serve Hashem to get a reward. The purpose of life is to serve Hashem out of love. Love is an altruistic, idealistic, unselfish reason for serving Hashem. The Rambam. The Rambam basically repeats some of this and adds on point. Al Yomer Adam Harini Osa Mitzvah Torah VeOsa Mechamasa Kadesh Hakabel Kol Brachos Aksuvos One. Number four, don't say I'll learn Torah and learn the Chachma the Torah, so I'll get all the brachos. It says there, or Kadesh Eskel Chayim Mahaba, so I'll go to Olam Haba. The Efresh Ben Averos is here a Torah Mehem Kadesh and Notzal and Aklal Aksuvos the Torah, or Kadesh Lo Karz Bechayim Olam Haba, and I'll refrain from Averos so that I won't get the Klolos, or that I won't lose my Olam Haba. Ain't where I love Hashem al derech hazeh. It's not fitting to serve Hashem this way. She'oved al derech hazeh of megira. That's only someone who serves out of fear. Ve'ein malas ha'neviyam lo'malas ha'cham. It's not the level of neviyam or chachamim. Beis, ha'oved me'ava. What should you do? You should be oved me'ava. Osib katorah mitzvah, so holuk mesivah z'chachma. You do Torah mitzvahs and go in the ways of chachma. Lom tei dover olam, not because of anything in the world. Lom tei yiras amra. Meaning not because you want to get anything. Not because of anything in the world. Not because you're afraid of bad things happening, not to get good things. You do what's right because it is right. But of course, good things will happen in the end. You do what's right because it's right. Okay, anyone familiar with general philosophy? Which philosopher held that ethics, Kant, that you're only an ethical person if you do what's right because it's right?
Kant.
Right? What did Kant say? This is what's known as deontological ethics in philosophical terminology. Kant said, if you do something because of what it will lead to, that's not ethical. If I do the right thing because
of what will happen afterwards that's good, you know, because what will happen to me afterwards, because I'll get something out of it, you know, whether I'll feel good, whether I'll get something, whether I'll get rewarded by Hashem, whether I'll get rewarded by people, that's not ethical. It's only ethical to do things because they're the right thing to do. Right? Very Litvish, Derech. Right? It's only ethical if you do something because it's the right thing to do. Says the Rambam, you should do what's true because it's true, not because of what you're going to get. Okay? Sounds like Pshat and Chazal. That's a very high madriga. Not every chacham merits it. This is the mail of Avram Avinu that Hashem called him the one who loves me. Even though it's a high madriga, Hashem commanded us through the Torah of Moshe to try to achieve it. Okay, let's just skip to Dalet. Here he quotes Chacham Rishonim, which is the Sifrei. Lest someone say, I'll learn Torah, so I'll be rich, so I'll be called rabbi, so I'll get reward in the next world. Now he quotes something that's not on the Makor sheet, the mitzvos of should love the mitzvos. Why? Because they're the mitzvos, because they're the right thing to do, like Hans said. Not the schar of the mitzvos. Here he quotes on Pinchas Socho, who he calls Gdoli HaChachamim, Altir Kavad Misham Shazarav, etc. Elav Neshu, you shouldn't serve Hashem to get a pras, rather, why should you? Elav Neshu, a Rav Roy L'Shamsho, because it is fitting to serve the Rav. That's very Kantian, right? Don't serve Hashem because of what you're going to get. Serve Hashem because it's right to serve Hashem. Right? Kloma Ivdu Mi'ava, and that is love. Love means not doing something because of what you're going to get. That's not love, that's selfishness. Love means doing something because it's the right thing to do for the being you're doing it for. That is how the Rambam quotes seemingly you might tell me, the Rambam hasn't been mechadish anything. He's basically quoted the Chazals. That's what Chazals say. The purpose of life is not to get anything. The purpose of life is not to selfishly get anything for myself. The purpose of life is to serve Hashem for idealistic reasons, for unselfish reasons. And that's what's called Ava. And Ava means just because it's the right thing to do, I love the truth, I just do the truth to this truth. I love Hashem, I just serve Hashem because it's fitting to serve Hashem. Not because of what I'm going to get. A very unselfish view of the purpose of life. Now, I'll tell you what happened to me when I was a kid. I don't mean like a little kid. Like, you know, close to your age. I started learning Mesillas Yesharim. And I started learning Mesillas Yesharim, then I get stuck. So, I don't know, maybe I should have. I could have gotten stuck because I'm like, oh, this is too hard. But I got stuck just because I had kasha on the Mesillas Yesharim. And I didn't know how to answer the kasha. So let's see if you can figure out the kasha I had on Mesillas Yesharim when I was like 16 or something, and tried to learn the Seals of Sharon. Open up the Seals of Sharon 5. And that's not the methodological Akdam. You know, the first Akdam of the Seals of Sharon is the methodological Akdam, where he explains the methodology of what he's going to do. But I mean the actual first parak. What's the first parak? Beveir klal cholos ha'adam ba'olamo, which is the topic that I'm trying to talk about. What's the purpose of life? So says Mesillas Yesharim, very first perek of Mesillas Yesharim, very first words of Mesillas Yesharim 5. That's why it has the acronym Yudkei Vavkei, because it's the first words of the book. Yesod HaChasidus V'Shor Sha'avod HaTmima, who, Sheisbar V'Yisam Yisrael Adam HaChavasa Bo'olamo. Okay, very logical, right? One thing that Ramchal knew how to do, I mean, many things he knew how to do, but one of the things he knew how to do is to be very logical, right? When he wrote a book, he would set out, this is what I want to accomplish in the book, this is how I want to do it, right? All those books are organized very logically, Mesillas Yesharim being one of them. Start with what's the purpose of life, and then very, very carefully, in an organized fashion, figure out what are all the steps to get to the purpose of life, what are all the sub-elements of each step, what helps you get there, what prevents you from getting there, etc. Right? Very, very organized. To be very organized, you have to start with the goal in mind. Right? What's the purpose of life? And towards what do you have to put your perspective and your goals in everything you're working your whole life? What's the purpose of everything? What did Chazal teach us? Man was only created to oneg. What does oneg mean?
Joy.
To derive joy from Hashem. V'lehanos, hana, pleasure, let's say, miziv shchinaso, to get derived pleasure from the glory of his presence. Shizewa tanuk hamiti, that's the true joy, va'idun ha'gadol, and the great pleasure, mikol ha'idunim shichum imasi, greater than any other pleasure you can find. Meaning, what's the purpose of life? To get the joy and pleasure of basking in the glory of Hashem, which is greater. I know there are people in the world who think a lot of other things are great pleasures, whatever they may be, right? Some people think being honored is a great pleasure, being rich is a great pleasure, you know, partying is a great pleasure, you know, I have no idea, playing video games is a great pleasure, whatever it may be. But he says, no, no, the greatest pleasure is basking in the glory of Hashem. Umakam Eden Zeba Emzu Olam Haba, but where can you get that pleasure? Really, only in Olam Haba. You can't really have that unmitigated pleasure in this world. Because Olam Haba is the world that was created with the preparations necessary for this. But the way to get to our destination, this destination, is in Olam Hazeh. Meaning, the goal of life is to bask in the glory of Hashem and have infinite, eternal pleasure in Olam Haba. However, the way to get to the goal is only through this world. Like Chazal said, Ha'olam Hazeh don't look prozor for Olam Haba. This world is the entryway to Olam Haba. What are the means that bring a person to this goal? These are the mitzvahs that Hashem commanded us. Right? What's the purpose of mitzvahs? Because they get us to that goal. The only place to do mitzvahs is Olam Hazeh. Therefore, man was placed in Olam Hazeh first. So that through these means that are available to him here, Yuchalagil Makam Shuchal, we can get to the place prepared for him there. Shu'olam Haba, which is Olam Haba. And what's the point of Olam Haba? Chazar, Lirvo Sham, to be satiated there. Bituv, with goodness, Jarkanalo, which he acquired. Al Yadayim Sarmelu, through those means. Fumasha Umr Zuchon Lavracha, Yom Lasosam. Today in this world, you do the mitzvah, so Machal, the Kabbal Scharim, and tomorrow, meaning in Olam Haba, you get the Schar. Okay, what was my problem? What was my kasha on the seal's chart?
The whole point of servants' realm is to get the next world of the world, which is contradictory to what we said beforehand.
Exactly. I said he's against Antignosh's Socho. I said, you know, I was only a kid then, but you know basic Kirchi Avos, even if you don't know all of it. You know, like the third Mishnah. So, what's the seal's chart talking about? I thought this was a very firm book. But he says, the whole purpose of life is to get a reward. And the purpose of doing all the mitzvahs is that, kanalo, I acquire a reward by doing mitzvahs. What's Peshat of Mesil Sharim? How could it be that the whole Mesil Sharim is a selfish book about how to get a reward? Like, I thought Mesil Sharim was about being idealistic and ethical. And it turns out, no. It's all, like, prudent investment advice. How to do things that'll get me a reward later. I mean, might still be very clever advice, but it sort of takes away from the moral sheen of the book. What's pshat? Okay. And then he continues a little. He says, let's read a little more, and then we'll come back to it. When you look at things further, you'll see the greatest perfection is only clinging to Hashem. What's good for me, being close to Hashem? But Omer, one thing I ask for Hashem, that's what I want. Shift to me, Hashem, call me a chai, to sit in the house of Hashem my whole life, to cling to Hashem. Kiraksu atov, that's the only good. Anything else people think is good. Ainu al hevel, lots of people in this world think other things are good, like money, etc. Ainu al hevel, it's only nothingness, v'shav, nita, and distracting, or misleading nothingness. Which is sort of true, like, you know, money, you can't take it with you, right? It doesn't last very long, right? That's not really good. In order to get that goodness, like you said before, it's fitting that he first has to work hard, and he has to expend effort to acquire it. To try to cling to Hashem, through the power of actions that lead to this result. Okay. Many decades later, I discovered I wasn't the only one to have this kasha of Mesil Sharim. Rav Cook, originally in the Shmonek Fatsim, that they published his original notebooks, but it's in the printed versions also, the original printed version, Orza Kodesh Chelek Gimel, page 167. Shanu Maschilim Mesil Sharim Lilmod. When we start learning Mesil Sharim, she is Soda Yisodot Hachesidut sari husha adam lo nivra elit anegel Hashem lehon b'zib shkinasa. What we just read. You were created to get pleasure. Shezoa tanug amiti ve'idun anitzchi. And he talks about how great a pleasure it is. Tanug amiti, idun anitzchi. What does he say? He doesn't say he's a kasha. He's like, he's Rukok. He says, Nislad hachush hamusari shalanu. Our moral sense recoils. Mipneha egoismus, because of this egoism, the selfishness. The avazat tanug, the love of pleasure. His moral sense recoils. Should be so zed. That's in this foundation. And we demand, no, the foundation of everything has to be something more pure and cleansed of any admixture of your own pleasure. Amnam, he says, Zel Goral Ha'alam Va'adam. Ah, the Misil Shem starts out so lowly, that's just the fate of the world and man. Sheyarad Karbarashis, it's Yeratome, Tchonato, Rashel, idealism. That already when he was first created, he fell from the supernal idealism. And his noble purity was nullified. And from low, he has to climb higher and higher. It's, yeah, Mishil Sherm is talking to you on a very low level here. That's because you got to start out on a low level, because most people are on a low level. But after it becomes clear to you, this idea of deriving pleasure from Hashem, hator shebidiyot ayot tor, is actually pure idealism. Okay, without reading the rest of the book, we're just going to wax very poetic. Somehow he says, like, yeah, Misil Sharm, like, he starts out sounding a little selfish, but you'll see it's not really so selfish. Maybe we'll try to explain. He explains here, but actually, poetically, we'll try to explain how that works. So basically, I want to defend Misil Sharm for the rest of the evening. How do we defend Misil Sharm? Meaning, how can he say the goal of all of life is to enjoy Hashem if, no, you're not supposed to want to get enjoyment. You're supposed to do it not on the Kabbal Prat, but out of Ava. Not on the Kabbal Prat, but out of Ava. Okay, so, anyone want to defend Misil Sharm against Antigno Shisocho? I don't mean you should defeat Antigno Shisocho, obviously.
Maybe Antigno Yisocho is only telling you the mode in which you should operate. And the mode you should operate as if it's not for reward. It really is for reward.
But your goal should be to get a reward. But to get a reward, you have to operate in a mode as if you don't want a reward. You see, that's a little dark.
Yeah.
Maybe the Masil Yisharm is not saying that you should do it because in order to bask in the goodness of Hashem, but rather he's laying out the natural consequence. That's what happens when you do a word of Hashem. That's the idealism. It's not that you're doing it because...
You're not doing it because... Okay, although his lashon is, at the end of the first line, l'ma tzor she'asim ma'bato ma'gamato. What you have to look for and make your goal. Right? It sounds like he's saying what your goal is, not just like, now you could say, no. What he means is the world was created for you to get pleasure, but your goal shouldn't be that. But he does sound like he's trying to tell you what your goal is. That's what he sounds like. Hey, you could interpret him that way, but I'm not going to go that way.
So the chalak, I think, is Ava versus Yira. So I think it's possible, if you ever read the Misil Sharm, he doesn't think like you're getting any benefit, or you shouldn't think you're getting any benefit whatsoever in this world. And it's possible that Antigonus is saying the same thing. You shouldn't work if you're getting benefit in this world. Because that's something out of Ava.
Aha, what's your name?
What? Akiva.
Akiva what?
Cooper.
Okay, Akiva Cooper is saying an interesting idea. Now, to back up that interesting idea of Akiva's, I know I cut him off in the middle of it, but I want to ask you to make a diuk. Not a diuk that you're the first to make, but a diuk that you're the first to make tonight. Antigonus Yisocho says, I'm going to repeat Antigonus Yisocho, shout when you would have picked a different word to use than he did. Altiyu ka'avodim ha'mshamshis harav al-manas l'kabel pras. El lahavu ka'avodim ha'mshamshis harav shalom al-manas l'kabel pras. Okay. How would you have said reward? Sachar, right? How do Chazal usually say reward all over Shas? Schar mitzvos. They always say it's schar mitzvos, right? Why do you say pras and not sachar?
So I think when you're saying Mekabel Pras, it's like a master is giving a present to the Eved, and there's no connection between the two afterwards. It's just you did your job, and now you're being paid and giving this present, but then you part ways. But the point of, like, the Rambam says, the Ava being Shetei Nafsho Kshura Be'Avat Hashem, and love is thing, which is being that the idea that you're going to be tied to Hashem, you're present in...
Very good.
Ziva Shechina, that you're being with Hashem.
What's your name?
Yossi Nadel.
Okay. So, now, I'm going to meander a bit until I get back to what you said, but let's look at the Abravanel. The Abravanel says he's not going to etymologically do exactly what Yossi did, but he's going to end up in the same place. He noticed that Antigonus Shilf says pras instead of sachar. Now, why is that? Of course, you could always be technical about it and be, you know, sort of historicist about it and say, well, maybe when Antigonus lived in his time and place, they used to use the word pras instead of the word sachar. And like, it could be, right? I'm not going to be able to disprove that to you. So, no diuk is ever mochrach. Could you say, in Antigonus' time, they said pras, even though in most places in Shas, they say schar. But, that's a little dachak, right? We'd rather have a better shot. So, says to your Rabbi Nell wrote a pirish on Pirkei Avos called Nachlas Avos. Anyone want to guess why no one nowadays reads the Rabbi Nell's pirish on Pirkei Avos?
It's too long.
Because it's too long. Same as why no one reads his pirish on Chumash. It's very, very long. It's worthwhile. Okay, but no one's going to read long things nowadays. So in the Nachlas Avos, he says, let's look at number 7. Hinei ha-sholim hazeh. Sholim is what the Abravanel, the Meiri, and the Rambam and others call the Tanaim and Pirkei Avos. Right? This, like, perfect person. Not literally perfect, but, you know, this person more perfect than we are, right? That's why his ethical observations are recorded for posterity and ours are not. Because he had a well-developed moral sense. So this Sholim, his Yerbnei Adam warned people, Shlo yavdo et Hashem yitbarach amanas lekabel pras. Not serve Hashem in order to get a pras. And what does pras mean, says the Abravanel? Shehu haschar hagashmi ba'olam hazeh. Pras means physical schar in this world. Physical in this world. Obviously, physical goes with this world, and spiritual goes with the next world. Right? Don't serve Hashem to get a pras, which means physical schar in this world. Sheyakabel, and why is it called a pras? Because, and I don't think etymologically pras versus sachar means whether you have a relationship. But what does pras mean in Shas? Anyone know what pras means in Shas? It doesn't actually mean a reward in Shas. What does pras mean?
Food.
Pras can mean food, but it doesn't just mean food. It means what kind of food?
Spice and bread.
No, I don't mean like what type of food. I mean like what context of food. It means a fixed allowance. Pras means you get like a certain amount of food every day, or what we call a pension. Don't think of old people, right? Pension. Anyone ever read like, I don't know, like Jane Austen or something, right? A pension means when the king gives you a fixed amount of money every period of time, right? A pras means something that you get right away. That's what a pras means. And that's why pras means food, meaning not all food is called a pras. But when I say, okay, you get food, you know, 1-2 meals every day, that's called a pras. That's what he says. She kabalot miyarech avoda. And what shouldn't you want? The kind of schar you get right away. Ke pras hakatzov, like the fixed pension, hanitam baboker era, that's given every morning and evening. Ke mekabalot for those who receive it. And you shouldn't serve Hashem to get physical rewards. Why? Vizeh. One reason is because even though the Torah promises physical rewards in this world, that's not the real schar of mitzvos. Those are just interest from the true schar. But the principle is safe for you in olam haba, etc. He gives a few reasons why you shouldn't serve Hashem to get physical reward. Therefore, Antigonus said, don't be like avadim. Now he adds avadim. Why avadim? Don't be like avadim who serve the master to get a prosperous on the lomar. Shlo yasot some kavadim. Don't be like avadim. What are avadim? Avadim are very lowly and they have very lowly ambitions and very lowly desires. Hanivzim hapusim. They're despicable and lowly. Shepnei avduzim chisusim because of their lowliness and slavery. Lo yavak shutaklas achar kim varm gashmius. They want no gold but gashmius things. Lechol asavah to eat and be full. Mechseatek to get clothing. Meaning a slave, his like highest horizons are, you know, his like highest goals are to get like food and drink and clothing. Because like He doesn't have the ability to think deeper than that. Don't be like Avadim who only wants stupid gashmias things. V'atem lo kein. You are not like Avadim. Ki yesh sachar lefulatchem. You don't shouldn't serve Hashem to get a pras. You get something better than a pras. You get schar. Nafshi, which is spiritual. Elyon, which is supernal. Ve'ilav roi shetiv nevodchem. And that should be the point, the goal of your of worship. Lo l'tovodah gashmiot. Not for gashmias goods. Shehema yovei divat tadam. Because after all, the gashmias things disappear. And you live forever in Olam Haba. Says the Abarbanel, you have to be medayik in Antignosh Issocho. He didn't say don't serve Hashem to get a reward. He said don't serve Hashem to get a pras reward, a physical reward in this world. Do serve Hashem to get a spiritual reward in the next world. That's the right reason to serve Hashem. So he's saying, he's fitting in very well with Seol Shasharim, there's no steer from Antignosh Issocho. You're supposed to serve Hashem to get a reward, but not the pras reward, the sachar reward. That's how we should interpret Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Elazar. You should love the mitzvos and not the schar of the mitzvos. He didn't mean you shouldn't want any reward. You shouldn't want the physical schar, which is ephemeral and nothingness. You shouldn't make the final goal of your actions and your worship. Now, anyone want to ask a kasha from Chazal on this Makorah sheet against the Abarbanel's defense of the Mesil Sharm? Obviously, that's anachronistic. We remember that one before Mesil Sharm.
Two examples on the Sifri. One was that the way that we understood that you shouldn't do it to become rich, and the second that it says with Parish, you shouldn't do it for Olam Haba.
Okay, not becoming rich, I think he's fine. Becoming rich is pras. You shouldn't do it for
pras. That's not how we explained it. It turns out you explain that.
Okay, but Olam Haba. That's the main thing. The Sifri says you shouldn't serve Hashem be a star in Olam Haba. That's easy against the Abarbanel and the Mesil Sharm. We're still stuck with this Sifrei. And I must admit, the Abarbanel's defense of himself against the Sifrei, I'm not entirely satisfied with. But I'll read it to give him a fair hearing. And maybe you'll be satisfied. Let me say, Masha, Sifrei, Shalom, Yomar, Adam, Rina, Lomi, Torah, Kvesha, Ezgal, Chayilam, Haba. Doesn't it say you shouldn't learn Torah yet, Olam Haba? She, Uyan, Heitev, if you examine it well, ain't no social is that. It's not a steamer to me. Why? Because Chazal was just trying to disabuse the Ovdei Hashem of two false beliefs. Okay, I skipped the first one. What's the second false belief? There are certain philosophers who say that your eternal life of the soul in Olam Haba is only based on the intellectual beliefs you acquire, not the actual mitzvos and actions you do. Meaning, there are some philosophers say you can't go to Olam Haba because you do Ritzon Hashem and mitzvos and good maasim, only because of your intellect. Right? That's very Aristotelian. Only the intellectual truths that you acquire live forever. Therefore, he's medayik. They don't say, they say, don't learn to go to Olam Haba. Which is really just a side point saying, don't think that only learning gets you Olam Haba. Really, learning and mitzvos get you to Olam Haba. Right? Okay, your learning is what lasts forever. Something like the philosophers say. Should learn for Avar, to do mitzvos, to fulfill his ratzon. You get Olam Haba for doing mitzvos, not for just intellect. Okay, I find this a very dachim pshat of the Sifrei. He says, what does he mean? Don't learn to go to Olam Haba, but rather for Ava. It means don't think until intellect gets you to Olam Haba. Rather, it's to love Hashem and do mitzvos that gets you to Olam Haba. I'm not entirely satisfied with that. But we do have potentially another pshat of this. And that is said basically in different words by the greatest Hasidish philosopher, in my opinion, of the modern era. Modern, you know, including Europe. And the greatest Misnagdish philosopher. You know, the greatest Hasidic philosopher of the last 150 years and the greatest Misnagdic philosopher of the last 150 years. Who is the greatest Misnagdic philosopher of the last 150 years, of course? The Rav. Who is the greatest Hasidish philosopher of the last 150 years, if you didn't look yet? It's a good question. Obviously, it's subjective. It's only my personal. The Rav is an objective truth, right? But who's the greatest Hasidic philosopher of the last 150 years is a subjective question. Obviously, I'm only giving my subjective opinion. But I really think it's Rav Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin. He's a very, very deep, creative thinker. There are a lot of great Hasidic philosophers out there. Okay, in my subjective, humble opinion, he was really the most interesting amongst them. He really always has interesting, new, different things to say and ties them into Makoros. All Hasidim know how to tie everything to all Makoros in all kinds of Cheshbeni, Pilpulish ways, but he knows how to tie a lot of things into some very basic Makoros in very deep, straightforward ways. So, says Rav Tzadok in number 10. And we'll see if we have time to come back to 8 or 9. Masha Amral Tiyu V'chuli Amanas Kabal Pras. He says exactly the Abravanel. I have no idea if you read the Abravanel or great minds just think alike. L'chor L'shon Pras Mashmas B'zonos Olam Hazeh. L'chor Pras means B'zonos, meaning physical things in this world. K'mosha Amru B'kabli Pras B'kabalos Pras. Like the examples in Irvendor's Pras when you get food every day. Chimba Rashi Avos. In Rashi V'gavos Pirish Tzchar Mitzvayim Aleka. You shouldn't serve Hashem to get a schar because you're not going to get a schar in this world. So it's mashmat daf k'sar l'mazeh. You shouldn't serve Hashem for a schar in this world. The gamzom mishmat leka, and that's only because you don't always get it. But it's only pras only means don't serve Hashem to get a reward in this world. To get a reward in next world is it's a good reason. But he says ach b'psachim mashva manasha eyabin olam haba la manasha yichlam v'di. But in psachim it says that if you serve Hashem to go to olam haba, that's lo l'shma. Just like if you serve Hashem, so he'll heal your son, so your son will live. So doesn't the Sholom Haba also Sholom Lishma? So says the Divrei Sofer, Avol Nira to become Makom of Rav Tzadok, Gam Zek Shakavana Rek Legarmi Shebet Olam Haba. You know when it's Sholom Lishma to serve Hashem to get Tzchar in Olam Haba? If your Kavana is selfish, Legarmi La'atzmo, to be a Ben Olam Haba. She Yarech Yom Olam Haba, to get long life in Olam Haba. She Yelo Tov Olam Haba, to get goodness in Olam Haba. Meaning, he says something very deep. If your image of Olam Haba is the same as Olam Hazeh, like, oh, you get, like, the Malachim serve you steak, right? And, you know, and you get golden furniture and whatever, and you get the river of Farsimo. You know, if your idea of Olam Haba is just to get stuff, then he says, "Dibazei nafkamina in prasto Olam Hazeh l'Olam Haba." Then, of course, if you think Olam Haba is a place where you get rewards, then there's no nafkamina to an Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Because your Olam Haba is just like Olam Hazeh. You just want rewards. Avol mashu ikar Olam Haba. What's the ikar of Olam Haba? The name is Vashchina. The only ana of Olam Haba, as the Mesil Sharm said, right, what did he say? Not to, or, you know, to quote our cousins from the neighborhood, right? I don't know if this is actually true. This is just like a stereotype, right? Your martyr goes to Olam Haba and gets 72 virgins. Right, so if your version of Olam Haba is 72 virgins, that's obviously Shalom Lishma, right? Because that's just a fancy Olam Hazeh. That's just an improved Olam Hazeh. He says, but what's the true on Olam Haba? Read the Mesilas Sharim. He didn't say anything about getting anything in Olam Haba, except for Mashu Ikar Olam Haba, the Nenem Ziv HaShechina, being Nenem from Ziv HaShechina. Zeh Lavanos Garmi, that's not considered selfish Hana. That's considered Lishma. The daikel the kabel prasto the kabel schar the prasto neis exactly what Ravanel the kabel pras is bad the kabel schar is good the pras schar shemilin they're two different things the schar mitzvah mitu she is kali dezel the gavur shem mitzvah what's a true schar of a mitzvah that'll make you close to Hashem like Vasil Sharm said zero ikar tavs mechum nas that's the ikar reason for all mitzvahs zero ikar mitzvahs lasom nas kain and that's what you should do to become close to Hashem zero l'shem paul only dovek al zizeh bo yisparach okay what does he say I think he says something very clear we said you shouldn't do it al manas the kabel pras you should do it me'ava. What does Ava mean? Basically, there's a chakira in love. What does love mean? I know there's a Mesil Sharm like this, who's probably more with sort of medieval chivalrous love. What does love mean? One version of love is, I love you means I don't want anything for myself, I just want for you. Right? That's what it sounds like for the Rambam. I do the truth because it's the truth. I serve Hashem because it's right to serve him. Selfless love. One version of love is selfless love. Selfless love is what the Rambam seems to have been describing. And that's Kantian love. I do what's right for you because it's right for you, not because of anything about me. However, that's not so pasha. That's the right shot in love. One thing is very, very clear. Let's say a guy, he marries the girl because he wants her money. Is that true love or is that selfishness?
Selfishness.
The answer should be obvious to you or else we have a big problem. That's selfishness, that is not love. He marries the girl because he wants the kingdom. That's obviously not true love, right? What if, however, here's the chakira. What if he marries the girl because he wants the girl? He marries the girl because, for him, the biggest hana is being with this girl because he should think she's like the best thing in the world. So he just wants to spend the rest of his life with her because he loves being with her. The biggest pleasure in his life is just having her at his side. So is that true love? It's not selfless. He wants something. But, I mean, yeah, that's love. I mean, think about it. Right? When you get married, don't be too Kantian. Right? When you come home to say, you should know, you tell your wife, I really love you. But in a very deep sense, I am totally selfless. I'm not in this for selfish reasons. I didn't marry you because I'm happier that way. I married you because you're happier. Because I want to make you happy. I would be just as happy with or without you. I'm not trying to get anything for myself. I don't enjoy this at all. But I want to make you happy. Right? I mean, if you try that, I don't know exactly what will happen to you, but it won't be pretty. It's not going to work out in the long run. If you think about it, I mean, the Sifrei and the Gemara and Dargim say, and the Chumash says, you serve Hashem out of love. But what does love mean? One version of love is selfless love. Not to get anything for yourself. But maybe that's not the right shot in love. Love doesn't mean I don't want anything for myself. Love means if I love X, that means I want X. Not that I'm connecting, that I'm taking X because I want Y. If I marry the girl for her money, I don't love the girl, I love her money. If I marry the girl for her kingdom, I don't love the girl, I love the kingdom. If I marry the girl for the girl, because I just enjoy the girl, then I do love her. Again, someone says, I love opera. Someone goes to the opera to impress his girlfriend, he doesn't love opera. Someone goes to the opera to impress his business partner, he doesn't love opera. Someone goes to the opera because he really enjoys the opera more than anything else in the world. Hard for me to relate to, but there's such a thing. Then he really does love opera. Right? You really love something means, to really act out of love means that I really, and what does it mean you want something? It means, obviously, you only want something for yourself if you think it's better than everything else. Right? What does it mean that I really love my wife? I think she's better than anyone else in the world. And that's why I'm happier with her than with anyone else in the world. Yeah, it makes me happy. But maybe that's love. That's not selfish love. That's real love. And a lot of philosophers and psychologists will even tell you, everyone does something that makes them happy. Right? What do the cynics say? Say, Mother Teresa, you think she's altruistic? Nah. She felt good when she helped the homeless people in India. People still know who Mother Teresa is nowadays? I'm sorry. She died a long time ago. It's not her fault. She wasn't Jewish. Yeah. She was Catholic, obviously, mother. She was, very famous. Like, she just, went to India and poor and homeless people there and helped them all, did chesed all the time. And she was, the classic, saint of the modern world when I was a kid. And, everyone would say, what's the difference between her and anyone else? It makes her happy to help people. So she does what makes her happy. And it makes me happy to play video games. So I play video games. So what's the difference? So maybe they're right. Everyone does what makes them happy. You know what the difference is? The difference is if lowly things make you happy, you're a lowly person. If exalted things make you happy, you're an exalted person. If playing video games is the greatest pleasure for me, then I'm doing what I love. But I love lowly things, so I'm a low person. If learning things makes me happy, then I learn things that makes me happy, and I'm a higher person because I love higher things. If helping people makes me happy, then I help people and it makes me happy. And I'm a higher person because I love higher, more exalted things. And if being close to Hashem makes me happy, then I want Hashem because my only happiness is having Hashem. And then I'm a very exalted person, so I love exalted things. So what I'm trying to tell you here, or Tzaddik's explaining, And I think this is much better shot than the Mechila's quote in the Abarbanel, is that Mitzvah Sharm is right. Don't serve Hashem to get a pras, which is, don't serve Hashem to get anything else besides Hashem, whether it's in this world or in the next world, but serve Hashem to get a sachar. Serve Hashem to get Hashem. If you serve Hashem to get something else, that's Shelo Lishma. If you serve Hashem to get closest to Hashem, that's not Shelo Lishma. That's not selfish. That's really loving Hashem. I know it makes you happy to have Hashem, but that's not selfish. That's true love. That's really loving Hashem. And that's what Chazal are telling us to do according to Mesilas Yesharim. And if you look at Mesilas Yesharim, this is where Cook points out, in the first paragraph he says, and maybe is starting out a little lomar dvei, he says, oh, you acquire goodness through mitzvos. But in the second paragraph he read, what does he say? Mitzvos naturally bring you closer to Hashem. All you want is to be close to Hashem, and you get closer to Hashem in Olam Haba, and your whole goal is to be close to Hashem. That's not Shalom Lishma. That's Lishma. Shalom Lishma is to do X in order to get Y. To do X in order to get X. That's Lishma. You're doing things for their own reason. And maybe that's really what Ava is all about. The Rav actually says it very beautifully in number 11. He says, I'll just read it outside because the hour is, already late. He says very posh, he says, if you do mitzvos to get Olam Haba, that's Shelo Lishma. Like quid pro quo. I'll do this for you and you'll give me that. And I'll do this for Hashem in this world, he'll give me something in the next world. He says, but if you understand that it's not that mitzvos, you trade mitzvos, you earn points for Olam Haba. Mitzvos are Olam Haba. Olam Haba means being close to Hashem. Mitzvos make you closer to Hashem. The Rav says, if you understand that, it's not that mitzvos get you Olam Haba as an exchange. Mitzvos just bring Olam Haba into this world because mitzvos make you close to Hashem and Olam Haba is being close to Hashem. That's Avodah Lishma. And as a matter of fact, this pshat was anticipated by the Yad Ramah, number 12 on the Gemara Bava Basra. Says the Yad Ramah at the very end. He says, the last line, "Chi Amar Nami Shosha Ezgel Chayil Mahaba Kadeshi Yosef Ladasas Boro Ka Amar." He says, if you want to get Olam Haba, getting Olam Haba is Lishma. If you want to get Olam Haba to know Hashem, to come closer to Hashem. If you want to get a reward in Olam Haba, it's Lishma. If you want Hashem, which is what Olam Haba really is, which is exactly what the Yosef started with, that's true love, and maybe Mesilas Yesharim is right. Don't serve Hashem to get a pras, serve Hashem to get the sachar, which is Hashem. And that's why you have to know the greatest thing. If you know the greatest thing in the world is Hashem, and all you do is you want more and more Hashem, more and more closer to Hashem, that is Lishma according to the Mesilas Yesharim. There are those who want to tie in that even the Rambam really holds that. Because the Rambam does say, number 9, V'kama kama David bis Abel Chayom Haba. How David HaMelech yearned and desired Olam Haba. How could David yearn and desire Olam Haba? Isn't that Shalom Lishma? So you could say, he yearned and desired Olam Haba, but that wasn't why he did mitzvos. But you could say, no, that the Rambam thinks, that maybe the Rambam also really agrees to the Mesilas Yesharim and the Yavar Benel, that if you want to be close to Hashem, that's not Shalom Lishma, that's Lishma. And if you want, you could also tie into this because of number 4, halacha gimel ketz ra'av ra'uya sheyev shem av gadol yaseira az vod shei nafshu kshur v'av shem it's a shogu about tamid gilu chol chol yavid. What's the proper love? To love Hashem so much that if you're lovesick, someone who's lovesick, like he wants the girl because he needs the girl, so maybe that implies that for the Rambam it's not shalol lishma to want closest to Hashem. That's considered lishma. Basically what we've seen then is a chakira. What is a chakira? Love. It all starts with a chakira and true love. What is true love? Is true love selfless? Like, again, if you do history of love, like this medieval chivalrous love, is true love selfless, chivalrous love where I want nothing for myself, I only want to make the other person happy? I only want to do what's right? Kantian love? And then, take all the Chazal's kipshuto. The only way to serve Hashem is just do what's right, because it's right, because it makes Hashem happy, not for anything for yourself. But that's tricky. A, because it's a very hard thing to do. B, psychologically, it could be that everyone does what makes them happy. There's no such thing as doing something not because it makes you happy against Kant. And C, because like, hold on. If my love for Hashem is not to make me happier, is not to benefit me, well, it can't be to benefit him. Because you can't benefit a perfect being. So like, how can I love Hashem without wanting something for myself. If I don't want something for myself, and I want something for him because he's perfect, then I don't want anything. So, therefore, the Mesillas Yesharim actually has a logical point. The Mesillas Yesharim says, no, true love means not I don't want anything for myself. I just want to do what's right objectively. True love means I want the object of my love for myself. True love, if I love a woman, I just want her because she makes me happy. If I love opera, I go to the opera because opera makes me happy. True love means I'm really connected, as you guys point out, to the object of my love, and all I want is a greater and greater connection to the object of my love, and that's true love. Of course it makes me happy. True love means I love you because you make me happy, not because you're going to give me something else that makes me happy. And that's the difference between Lashma and Shalashma. And what did Tignesh B'tzocha mean? Don't serve Hashem for a pras, which is Gashmias, but serve Hashem for a schar, which is closest to Hashem. And what does it mean you shouldn't serve Hashem to the schar in Olam Haba? Either your Rabbi Nel's Pshat, which I accuse of being Dachuk, I think correctly, or the Rab's Pshat and the Ritzadik's Pshat. Don't serve Hashem to get some other schar in Olam Haba. Serve Hashem to get Hashem in Olam Haba. Don't serve Hashem to get schar in Olam Haba. Serve Hashem to be close to Hashem in Olam Haba. And then the Rav says, in which case, Olam Hazen and Olam Haba are the same thing for you. You want to be close to Hashem in this world, and that will bring you close to Him in the next world. I do think, here I'm being prejudiced in this Chakira, that the Mesillas Yesharim, in the end, even though when I was 16, I had a kash on him, he really has the wisest shot in this Chakira, besides the fact that, you know, I tried both ways with my wife. Only one of them worked. No, I didn't even try. I think he has the right side of this Chakira. Because, like, if you think about, like, how people, like, become, like, very religious, etc., and how they become spiritually inspired, you know, I think the way people become spiritually inspired is not they sit and objectively think, like, what's the emes, the objectively right thing to do. I think that, like, they taste a certain ruchnis and closest presence of Hashem, a spiritual experience, then they have a taiva for that, and they want more and more spirituality because they recognize that the spiritual experience is speaks to them on a deeper and higher level and is more what they really want in the deeper sense than all the physical pleasures that everyone else in the world is chasing after. And that's not Shalol Lishma. That's really Lishma because they sense the closest to Hashem. They want more and more close to Hashem. And that's why they worship Hashem. And according to the Mesillas Yesharim, that's the whole purpose of life. Okay, so we've learned a nice Chakira and how to read the Tignesh Yesocho, which is really Be'etzma Chakira in love, and Chakira in ethics, and a lot of very, very, very basic things. And I've given you my opinion and tried to buttress it. Amir Tashem, next week we'll continue with another topic. Have a good night, everyone. Elad and Tai and
Akiva.
Akiva Cooper?
Yeah.
From?
Akiva.
Tinek. Aslam. Just Tinek. Right, you didn't have to say.
Is it not Lishma to, let's say, for instance, to give tzedakah?